Loud Chocolates, for anyone who can guess where we'll be reading from this morning. We will once again read from the book of Ruth, and once again from chapter 1, the verses we probably know by heart by now because we've been reading it for the last few weeks. We will read from Ruth chapter 1 from verse 9 through to verse 21 as we spend our fourth week in the book of Ruth. Lord God, we open this book that you've given us, Lord, this book that's so filled with truth, Lord, a book that's filled with life. And Lord, as we read from this book this morning, we pray that you will reveal the truth through your Holy Spirit to us, Lord, and that you will give us the life that is in this book, that this life will be in our hearts, in our lives, and for the world to see. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Verse 9. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed him, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." In this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separate you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told him. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." May the words of the Lord be a blessing to us this morning. So, I hope you're not bored yet. Of course, for the past few weeks, we've been talking a bit about relationships, and notice will be about our relationship with God. We've looked at the lives of these women that we find in this first chapter of Ruth. We've looked at Orpah. You remember, she was the one who walked away, the one who decided to follow the promise of a better future, albeit a promise without God. She's decided to go back to her people and her gods, and to go and try and find another husband, another promise, instead of staying with her mother-in-law Naomi. Last week we looked at Naomi, and we've heard how Naomi did the right things. She went back to the land that God had given her. She went back to her people. She did those things, but she did it for all the wrong reasons. And when she did this, this caused Naomi, which means the sweet one, to turn into a lady, Mara, which means the bitter one. This morning we will look at the third woman in the story. We will look at Ruth, and we will see that Ruth, at a time in her life, in the life of her whole family, where everything seemed to be falling apart, we will see that Ruth made a decision to keep everything together. She made the best decision out of these three women. And she made the best decision because she was the one who decided to keep this family together at all cost. Ruth, one can say, was a picture of responsible living in a time or an age of irresponsibility, where people were just irresponsible in what they did. So when Ruth was presented with this opportunity to walk away, when Naomi actually encouraged her to go back to her people and her gods, she decided to stay. And not just stay, but to leave her country, to leave Moab and go to the promised land. Oh yes, and we can say that she did it because she loved her mother-in-law. She obviously had a great love for Naomi. But it was more involved in this than just her love for Naomi. For Ruth, this was about a covenant relationship. This was about a promise that she made, about something which she held to a higher regard. And if we look at Genesis 2 verse 24, we can actually see this example of how she interpreted this part of the text, or this part that God gave us. She obviously, when she decided to marry Naomi's son, she must have taken this piece of scripture to heart, this piece which we find in Genesis 2, which says this. It says that this is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. This is why a man leaves, and this is why they're united, become one flesh. And so Ruth took this to heart. She realized that there is two things happening here. The first one is leaving. You know, when we get married, we just can't stay in our parents' home forever. At some stage, we have to leave that. It's breaking with the past, breaking with the former family obligations. And now we're starting to form a new relationship with our husband or our wife. It's a new commitment that we're starting to build. The second thing is uniting. You unite to your wife, you unite to your husband, you unite to a new way of life. And this is a covenant relationship where there's no more of the old relationship interfering in this new one. It's worth knowing this piece of scripture that Ruth left her family to marry Naomi's son. And she had formed a new bond with this family. And now, when things for this family were starting to get tough, when life was not so easy for them anymore, when the providers in this family has died and are no longer there, she was not about to walk out on this covenant relationship. She was not going to leave this. This tells us a bit about Ruth. It tells us a bit about her devotion to Naomi. And it shows us her integrity. It shows us the type of person who Ruth is. As we have read through this part of chapter 1 that we've read this morning, you'd have noticed in verses 16 and 17, she pledged her commitment without reservation. In verse 14, she'd revealed the desire to care for Naomi. But in verses 16 and 17, she reveals her decision. She's made up her mind. She's made up her mind. This passage for me is the most beautiful statement of commitment that we can find in printed literature. It's the most beautiful statement of commitment. It's simple, and it reminds us of the characteristics of a genuine commitment to a relationship. As I was preparing for this, I thought, but I will do the next time somebody comes to me and say they want to get married, I'm going to actually try and convince them to use this passage as a marriage vow. Listen to this beautiful words, thinking of this as a marriage vow to your beloved. Verse 16. Saying this to your lover: where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Verse 17, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Isn't that a beautiful vow? Isn't that beautiful? But as beautiful as these vows are, it shows that it's costly to be in a relationship. Relationships don't come cheap. Ruth had to sacrifice a great deal, not only in a personal life, but in a relationship life. She had to give up a future. When she decided to go with Naomi, there's no chance of her marrying a rich guy. And she was willing to sacrifice her freedom for the responsibility of caring for Naomi. She gave away her freedom to look after this older lady. When Ruth's husband died, she was probably still a young woman. For all she knew, when she made this commitment, was that she would never be able to remarry, never be able to have any children. But as a widow, she committed to care for her aging, widowed mother-in-law. And this was a complete break with her past. And this had no promise for her for the future. What would her committing her life to Naomi have for her for the future? Naomi could not care for her. Naomi had no means of income. Yet she committed to this woman. And then she gave up her whole world. She gave up her whole world when she said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. My world, my life is no longer important. Where you go, I will go." She was willing to sacrifice her nationality. She was willing to sacrifice her identity, her homeland, all for the sake of this covenant relationship. She was leaving this land where she was born. Remember, she was born in Moab. She was leaving this land for a land with strange customs, strange and new behaviors. She was leaving all behind. She gave up her family and her friends. When she said to Naomi, "Your people shall be my people," her family and friends no longer mattered. She was willing to sacrifice close relationship with family. She was willing to leave behind her own mother, her extended family and friends, for this covenant relationship. For the sake of this covenant relationship, she was even willing to give up her faith. She was willing to leave her gods behind and accept the God of Naomi, the God of Israel. She did this when she declared, "Your God shall be my God." What we don't realize is that the God that the Moabites had was the God named Chemosh. She was willing to sacrifice her religious heritage, and she was willing to sacrifice this worship of this idol God. And we don't actually really know what the name means, but some scholars think the name meant destroyer or subduer. And if you look at our God, a God of love, a God who creates, this God was the opposite, a God who destroyed and subdued and won people in prison. And she left us for a living God. So once we look at this, we will consider this as her conversion. Because now Ruth has decided to leave a God of destruction, a God who subdues, for a God who builds up, and a God who creates. So we can see this as her conversion when she was true to this covenant relationship she found herself in. Yet, this was costly. You know how costly it is sometimes for people to convert to Christianity? I had a privilege when I was in PE to work with a group who did evangelism work amongst Muslims. And it's easier to convert a Muslim family or a Muslim person in the Middle East, in Turkey for instance, than to convert somebody here. And the reason is that if they're converted in the Middle East, the Middle Eastern Christian families would accept them into their family because they get cut off from everything. If you convert from Islam to Christianity, you are cut off from everything. Your family, your friends, everything you know, even your job. So in South Africa, if we convert somebody from Islam to Christianity, we find that Christians won't accept them into their homes. We'll convert them, but they need to find their own way. And they are cut off from their families, cut off from everything they have and own. And so it was for Ruth. The moment she accepted the God of Naomi as her God, she was cut off from everything. She was cut off when she was converted. The story of Ruth shows us that a covenant relationship is a costly relationship. But it also shows us that it's a long-term commitment. They say there's a story of the student who walks into this shop where they print photographs and things like that to the studio. And in his hand, he had a picture, a framed picture of his girlfriend. And he said to the guy behind the counter, "Please, I want to duplicate this picture. I want to keep one of these in my cupboard, and I want to keep one in my car, and I want to keep one in my pocket. So can you duplicate this for me?" And for this chap behind the counter to be able to duplicate a picture, he had actually had to take the picture out of the frame. And in doing this, the studio owner noticed that there was inscription on the back of this photograph. And it said this, it said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I'm yours for eternity." And it was signed Diane. But it also contained a PS. It said, "If we ever break up, I want this picture back." Maybe that's why I made a copy. In contrast, look at Ruth's statement. It says, "Where you die, I will die." Now that sounds like till death do us part type of commitment. She didn't approach this relationship with the attitude that if things get tough, or if things don't work out a way that I want them to work out, I'll just up and leave. Ruth had something different in mind. She had in mind, if things don't work out, I will work harder. That was his attitude. If things don't work out, I will work harder at this. And this is a picture of somebody or someone who is faithful. This is a perfect picture of a faithful person. If things don't work hard, I will work harder at work out. I will work harder at it. And this is the type of commitment that glues and holds relationships together. Especially when hardships test these relationships. So the story of Ruth shows us that a covenant relationship is costly. And it shows us that it's a long-term commitment. But it also shows us that it's a sacred relationship. Ruth's words when she said, "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." It's a testimony to this. She just didn't make this vow to Naomi. She also made this vow to God. I love it to remind people when they're getting married to say there's a third person in your marriage, and that is God. So whatever promise you made to one another, you also made to God, and God's making to you. When she made this vow, which we still do at weddings, we remember that God sanctions home and God sanctions through relationships. By calling on the name of God, she made a pledge of commitment, and she made a pledge that this commitment is complete. And she had a physical, an emotional, and even a spiritual vow, this vow that she made. There was no reservation in this. Ruth did not stop at this vow either. She proved her commitment. In verses 18 to 22, when we read that, we will see that she went with Naomi to a strange land. She said, "I committed to this relationship with this family, and she went to the strange land, not knowing if she would be welcomed or not. Perhaps the people there that tested her God and her people, thinking that she's going to bring this terrible religion of theirs into the nation of Israel. Yet she was committed to Naomi and she went with her. Every year, thousands and thousands of couples pledge their love and their devotion to each other when they get married, only to break their promise again later on. Ruth proved her commitment in two ways. First, there was these convincing words. Ruth made this vow, which was very convincing, and it had deep passion and meaning in it. Words without a hollow ring to it. And secondly, she proves her commitment with consistent works. Ruth followed through with her vows. She didn't just say, "I'll be with you till death do us part." She actually did it. She left Moab with Naomi and she moved to Bethlehem. The sad thing though is at this stage though, Naomi didn't fully appreciate Ruth. Naomi said in verse 21, "The Lord has brought me home again empty," not knowing how full her life was with Ruth in it. Naomi at this stage had no appreciation for what Ruth was doing for her or even meaning to her. Because for Naomi, it was all about herself, about her own needs, her own feelings. But for Ruth, on the other hand, her commitment wasn't dependent on Naomi's commitment or behavior. She had committed and she was going to stick to it. She was going to stick to this commitment. So in closing, and I'll make a few people happy, let me tell you about a little girl named Jane. They say Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was a story of a day in a nursery school where 4-year-old Jane was. And this was the first time ever that she actually heard a story. Can you remember the first time you heard a story? Some people can't remember that far back. This was the first time young Jane heard a story. And so she listened carefully, told the story of how the sweet young girl who was fed poison through an apple and this old by an old witch, and as she took a bite of this apple, the poison actually just let it fell down and fell into this deep sleep that she would never wake up from unless she received a kiss from the wonderful Prince Charming. And so Jane was listening to the story and she couldn't wait to get home to tell the story to her mother. And at home, Jane said, "Mother, let me tell you a story. You will never believe it." And she began to describe what happened to Snow White. And when she got to the end, she said, "And Mother, Prince Charming kissed her back to life. And guess what happened?" And the mother responded, "Well, honey, they live happily ever after." But the little girl shook her head and replied, "No, they didn't, Mother. They got married." Many people have become very cynical about our traditional marriages. And if you go read what the clever people say, they say, in our traditional marriages, when we look at the marriage and the commitment we have in our marriages, there's six psychological commitments involved in a marriage like this. The first one is that we see it as a possession or an ownership of our mate, of our spouse. We see it in a marriage relationship that we have to deny ourselves for the sake of the other. They also say in a traditional marriage, we have to maintain the couple front. There's this facade we have to maintain in front of other people. And then there's this rigid role behavior where the guy is the one who mows the lawn and a woman is the one who washes the dishes. Those type of things. And there's also absolute fidelity required in a traditional marriage commitment. And total exclusivity. And some people find problem with it, and a few things here is important that we keep to it. But so often, without even knowing it, the clauses of a close marriage contract begins to foreclose upon our freedom and upon our individualism. Sometimes, when we're stuck in a marriage life that's full of rules, it makes a slave out of us. It makes a slave out of our marriage. And so we hear so often, why did this couple get married? Look at them. They're obviously not suited to one another. But fortunately, these things aren't the final words on building lasting relationships. Because as we've seen in our book, in our book of Ruth, as we studied it and examined it, there's three options, three choices individuals can make when we're stuck in a dead marriage, when we're stuck in a dead relationship, when we're stuck in a relationship that's strained by the realities of life. And the first one, the first choice we can make is like Orpah. We can simply walk away. Simply go and pursue our happiness somewhere else. Or we can, like in Naomi's case, remain in a marriage like this, remain in a relationship where we keep up the facade, where we present a happy couple to the world, but inside there's no more love, it's just rules. Or we can, as we've seen today, case of Ruth, who's made a best decision, and that decision is to stay and try to keep this family together at all costs. Try to work on this relationship. Try to build on a covenant relationship. Because life is full of challenges and difficult circumstances. And while we cannot control the actions and the decisions of others, we can make our own decision to keep relationships together, to keep families together, to keep marriages together. I've seen so many times when I had to work with couples, when you ask them about the first time they've met, you see the love they had for each other. And then as you work with them, you realize it's a love that was lost. But I also see this in our relationship with Jesus. I see Jesus who never stops working at our relationship with Him. I see a Jesus who never gives up on us until the day He dies. But I also see His bride. I see His church who's unfaithful. I see in His church the Orpahs of this world seeking a better life somewhere else, following the empty promises of a world that cannot provide. I also see the Naomis of this world. People who do the right things for the wrong reasons. People who become bitter and disillusioned. Bitter and disillusioned because they do not understand what a covenant relationship is and what it means. And they hang on to a religion for their own sake. Doing the right things because they believe that is what will save them. Making themselves a slave to their religion. But then there are the Ruths of this world, the ones who are committed to Jesus, in every way try to be like Jesus, doing what Jesus did, seek the salvation of others, followers of Christ who understands a covenant relationship, who understands that a covenant relationship is costly, who understands that a covenant relationship with Jesus is a long-term relationship, and who understands covenant relationship is sacred. There was no self-interest in the life and actions of Ruth. Her life was dedicated to the person she was in a covenant relationship with. And this is how our relationship with Jesus should be. Dedicated to Jesus, like Ruth was dedicated to Naomi. So I want to leave you with this thought. How costly is your relationship with Jesus? Is it short term or long term? And is it sacred to you? Let us pray. Yes, Lord. We are in a covenant relationship with you. Wrought in a covenant relationship that comes from the love you have for us, that comes from the sacrifice you made when you died on our behalf. Lord, it's like in the song that we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, it's like in the words we've read in John that said, who is no greater love than a person who will give up his life for his friend. And Lord, you've done that. You've proven your love to us. Father, we enter into this covenant relationship with you through your Son, through the love he has for us, the sacrifice he's made for us. And Father, we are ready to commit ourselves to this relationship in every way possible. So Lord, we thank you for this grace that we've received from you. Lord, this mercy you have for us. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. The offering will now be taken.